And it's great to have walked and journeyed with Anna and her family and vice versa, her with me. And in fact, we were in Bible college together, on leadership together in St. Mark's, and the history just goes way back. And I'll tell you something about Anna that she would probably never tell you about herself, that she's a woman that gets up early every morning and prays diligently before God. So I know this, that whatever she brings today, it's as a result of waiting on God and out of a relationship with Jesus and a knowledge of the Word. And that's a good place to deliver the Word from. So let's give Anna a welcome.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. I was actually sitting there thinking, Noel, when we were in Bible college together, how we would talk together about what God was going to do. And Noel would talk about the fact that God was going to plant a church in Rialto. And, you know, that's all we talked about, was God and, what God could do. And it's great to see that God, delivers. He comes and he does what he puts in your heart to do. So it's great to be here. Is Naomi gone? You're Naomi. She was on worship, wasn't she? Well, I just felt for Naomi that when she was singing that song about God's heart, I felt that God wanted to say to her that he was going to put his heart into her heart. And as a result of that, she was going to be able to minister from that place. And I felt that God wanted to say to Naomi that he was going to open doors. And you're not to be afraid to go through them. That he was the one that was making the way for you. Just to be courageous and not to be fearful. Don't hold back. I just feel in the worship she has so much more to give. And I believe God wants her not to be afraid. Lord, we just thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for your presence this morning. We thank you for your grace and your goodness in our lives. We thank you for the blood of Jesus, which enabled the dividing wall that was separating us from you to be torn down. We thank you that we are in your house this morning instead of many other places that we could be. And I pray, Lord, you would enlarge our faith, that we would believe this morning that what's impossible in our lives can become possible. You know, I believe God wants to come this morning. You know, when Jesus is in the house, anything can happen. Anywhere Jesus went, miracles happen. The Bible tells us if we bring the word of God, that these signs will follow the preaching of his word. And I believe that this church believes that we serve a mighty God who is able to do more than you could ask or think or imagine. We're in the house of God this morning, and I believe anything can happen. I want to share from Luke 13, verse 10. It says, on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and couldn't straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it and give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what has bound her?" When he said all this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. Amen. Thank you for your word, Lord God. As you'll read that, you'll see the title is "A Crippled Woman Healed on the Sabbath." Now, this seems to be a very simple, straightforward miracle. Yet, a closer observation, we see one of the most profound interactions that Jesus ever had with anyone in the Gospels. Jesus spoke the word, "Woman, you are free from your infirmity." Or another translation says, "Woman, you are loosed And immediately she was healed. And I want to tell you that the same Jesus who set this woman free from what bound her for 18 years is here in this house this morning. The same Jesus who had compassion on a daughter of Abraham, and that would have been the equivalent of the believer today, is here this morning, and what he did for her, he can do for you, whatever has you bound. You know, it tells us that Luke is the only one actually who records this story of this woman. And it's observed because of his training as a doctor and a gifted physician that it comes true by the terms he describes to describe this illness. Imagine she was bent over completely. Today maybe we would describe it as a curvature of the back or a dislocation of the vertebrae. And Jesus, when you read that story, it's interesting. He said she was bound by Satan himself, that her disorder was inflicted by him. Now, this wording is used in the same place where in Job, where it says that Job was smitten with sores and boils, that Satan himself had did this to Job. And this was the case with this woman. She would have been a pitiful sight. And, you know, it would have not only caused her a great deal of physical pain, but can you imagine the mental anguish that she was going through? Imagine not being able to lift your head at all. I don't know whether anyone could do it, but you could actually imagine her in your mind that she was bent over completely, which meant that her head was to the ground. I want to tell you, there are people, and you're here this very morning, and because of what Satan has done in your life, you are feeling that you are not able to lift your head and walk in freedom and liberty that he wants you to know. But I want to tell you that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is here this morning, and he wants to lift up your head and set you free to be all that he has called you to be. You know, we're not told in this story, like we are with the woman with the issue of blood, whether she went to the doctors. But it tells us the fact that she was in the synagogue meant that she would have been a woman with some kind of money. So I think we could take a guess that she would have went to many doctors, knocking on many doors saying, please, can you help me? And you know, I come across people like that all the time. Please, can you help us? And this woman would have been maybe driven to distraction. And it seemed like it got worse instead of getting better. But that day in church, she was going to experience the power of the one who had, the Bible says, come to destroy the works of the devil and was able to both relieve the mind and the body of affliction. For 18 long years she had suffered. That day would have been no different in her routine. I mean, I was thinking about it. Imagine waking up in the morning. Imagine trying to dress yourself while being bent completely over. But she struggled to the house of God. And you know, what she did not know that day was the one whom declared, maybe in that very place, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, that he would be in that place and he was going to set her free to live a life of freedom and liberty. Jesus was in the house that day, and this woman made sure she was in the house too. What if this woman, like some people today, and I hear it an awful lot, well, actually, you don't have to go to church, they tell you. And actually, you don't have to go to church. People say, I stay at home and I speak to God. When I was getting discipled, and Noel, we had a couple who discipled us in Sharon. They called that's your quiet time. What if she had been someone who said, you know what, I think I'll just stay in bed. And maybe not too many people would have judged her for doing that. because of her sickness. But this woman loved God and was in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. You know, she could have used the excuse of her sickness, but she didn't. And this tells us that she was a true worshipper of God. She came to the house of God because in her mind's eye, that is what a daughter of Abraham did. She was in the habit of going to the house of the Lord. And you know what? Jesus had a habit. If you read in Luke 6, I think, or 7, it says Jesus was in the synagogue as he was in the habit of doing. We hear so much about bad habits. People have alcohol problems. People have addiction to drugs. But there's good habits you can have. Jesus had a good habit. He always made sure he was in the house of the Lord. Because you know what? By not going, you don't know what you'll miss. Because God is in the house, and because he's in the house, anything can happen. We shall be coming to the house of the Lord to worship him, to thank him for his great love towards us. Imagine, while we were yet sinners, he put his hand upon our lives. I'm forever grateful for God for doing that. And I know Pastor Noel and Sean is ever grateful for what God has done. Listen, don't lose that gratefulness in your heart. It's so easy sometimes to forget where you came from. I will never forget where I came from because I don't want to go back there. God has set me free. And I decided I will be in the house of the Lord no matter what happens. And I want my children to know that, listen, when times are tough, do you think I hadn't got times that were tough? I did. Do you not think that I had Sunday mornings that I wanted to pull the blanket over my head and stay in bed? But I decided I'm going to show my children this is what you do. When you have problems and difficulty, you come to the house of the Lord and you let brothers and sisters touch you. You know what? Don't let the devil run you into this one. Don't tell anybody about what you're going through. That's from the pit of hell. You go to people who love you and you say to them, this is what I'm going through. Will you stand with me? And if people talk about you, they're not your friends. Who cares? Listen, our story was told on national television. There's nothing more they can bring out. Who cares? But I know what God has done in my life. We come to church to encourage one another, to show each other that we love one another. And who else is going to encourage us? We've a battle out there going on. Some people here have battles in their homes, and this is the only place of safety for you. Don't give up. I just feel, what I'm feeling in my spirit for this church is they're on the brink. Listen, one service is not going to be enough. You've got to go on up the level. You're going to have 3 services here, 4 services of a Sunday, and God is going to raise up you, leaders, to make sure this happens, and that people who come in here, what God has done for you. We've a lot more reason to be in the house of the Lord than lying in bed or anyone else or anywhere else on the Sabbath day. I know that there is people here this morning, and you're here every Sabbath day, and only God knows what you had to do to endure coming here. Maybe you're here and you're sick in body. You're sick in your mind. You're worried about loved ones. There's people here in financial difficulty, even people who are suicidal. As I sat there, I felt that. There's people and you're suicidal sitting here this morning. You're discouraged. You don't know by looking at the person sometimes beside you what they're going through. But the thing is, in spite of what you're going through, you've chosen to be here this morning. And I believe God will honor your faithfulness. God will honor you. This woman waited 18 years. It doesn't matter how long you wait. It's that it will happen if you don't give up trying. You're in the right place. You're in the place where miracles do happen. They do happen, and I believe it with all my heart. It says this woman, you know, the Bible says, do not grow weary in doing good, because at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. This woman didn't give up, and God rewarded her by healing her and giving her the desires of her heart. You know, this story tells as much about this woman's faithfulness as it does about her healing. I mean, you could read that and think, great, she was healed. But this so much tells about her faithfulness. You know, what if God never healed this woman? What if she went to the grave the way she was? This woman, I believe, in spite of her pain and affliction, was someone who had decided in her heart that Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, was bigger than her bodily affliction, and nothing was going to stop her being in the house of the Lord. What an example for you and I today, that we would love the house of the Lord and hell itself wouldn't stop us from being here. In verse 3 it says, when Jesus saw her. When Jesus saw her. It didn't matter who else seen her. There's people at times and they hide away. They want to get away from people. They're going through tough times. But it didn't matter. Jesus saw her. And those words, you know, impacted me so much that no matter what I'm going through, it doesn't matter if the person beside you knows or anyone else knows, Jesus sees you here this morning. Which would bring another question. How did Jesus see her? She would have been up in the balconies with all the other women in the synagogue. And if she was bent over, he couldn't physically see her. Jesus seen her in his spiritual mind. Jesus saw her. His spirit saw her. And you know what? That's the way we need to be looking at people. Our spiritual minds need to be seeing people the way God sees them. Our spiritual minds needs to be, you know, identifying with people. And we need to be lifting people up and seeing them, not as they are, but as the way they could be. I'd say it didn't matter who seen her. Jesus had seen her. And maybe she had become invisible to people around her. You know, she actually might have become an embarrassment to them. Here she was, bent over, coming in all the time, a constant reminder that, listen, you know, everything wasn't perfect. She mightn't have been the type they wanted to come to the meetings. Because the Pharisees were very judgmental. And you know what? There's Pharisees in the house of God, even today. Now, they don't wear the long flowing gowns to identify them, which is unfortunate because you don't know who the Pharisees are. Maybe they would have judged her because in their culture, her sickness could have been seen as judgment from God for a sin she had committed. But the thing I love about her is she didn't care. She didn't care what they thought. She came that day, maybe hoping, maybe this day, God will see my misery and do something for me. You know, we see even that, even when Jesus did heal her, that these Pharisees were actually more concerned that he was healing on the Sabbath and breaking their man-made rules than this poor woman's welfare. He exposed to them that they were actually more concerned about their animals, whom they'd have no trouble rescuing on the Sabbath day. But Jesus saw this woman, and then it says he called this woman, and then he laid his hand upon her. Jesus sees all of our lives this morning. He knows exactly where we're at. He knows the things that we are bound by and that Satan has kept us in bondage to. He wants to come this morning and speak the words, beloved, you are set free from what has bound you. Woman, man, you are loosed from what has kept you in bondage. I believe this up with all my heart. There's no point in preaching the Bible if we don't believe the Bible. The Bible is the word of God. It's not my words. It's God's word to you. Our part is taking hold of it, believing it and saying yes. What if this woman hadn't have answered when Jesus called her? But she did. She did. And he did something for her. You know, Jesus can unloose us from sickness, from depression, from anxiety, from bitterness. There's nothing too difficult for him. Anything that binds us. And when I was putting this together, the Lord kind of told me to look at Lazarus. And when you look at the story of Lazarus, when he came out from the grave, we know that he was bound with all the grave cloths. And Jesus said to the people around, unbind him. But in this woman's case, she was bound by Satan himself, and only Jesus could unbind her. And I felt the Lord say to me, Anna, you need to not lose discernment when we're working with people. If somebody for years is not being unbound in spite of maybe all the counseling, in spite of all the talking, that maybe that's when we move into another realm and we need the delivering power of Jesus. You know, deliverance has got a bad name. Why are we so afraid of deliverance? I was delivered from many things. We need to see the delivering power of Jesus working in our lives and working in our churches. It says this woman, you know, she made no approach towards Jesus. Jesus himself took the initiative. He saw her and moved by compassion. He spoke the word that made her well. Jesus was moved by compassion to make this woman well. And I believe that when we're moving in the compassion that only God can give us. Listen, I'm 20 years nearly in some kind of pastoral ministry. And there's times that I can run out of steam with people. That I don't know what else to do. That's when I have to let God come and do what he can only do. This so much captures the message and the method of salvation. We actually could do nothing to earn our salvation. You know, God saw us. Jesus seen this woman. He called her by name. You know, it says in Isaiah, fear not, because I know you. I called you by name. God calls our name. I remember I was about a year a Christian. And I was getting involved with children's ministry where I lived, and I was very apprehensive about doing it, because when I got saved, everybody knew I was a Christian, and all the kids around used to call me born again and slagging me, and it's amazing what you're not able for. But I was asked, and I was kind of wanted to stay low key. But I remember this morning at 6 o'clock, I was up praying, and just like that I heard the voice of God, and he just said, Anna, I just collapsed to the floor. I knew it was the voice of the Lord. And I just, he really spoke things into my life. And he actually told me that the years ahead were going to be very difficult ones. Different things would happen. And that God would use these things to strengthen me. And that has kept me strong and courageous. That God keeps bringing me back to that time. You know what? You mightn't hear that voice of God, but in your heart, that still small voice called your name out. Called wherever you are. Linda, Carol, whoever. You know, God knows your name. And that's the magnificence of God. That all over this world, people are meeting in churches just like this. And God knows each one's name. You know, if while we were separated from him, he would go after us, how much more will he do on our behalf now that we belong to the family of God? We're in God's family. We're King's kids this morning. You don't have to walk with your head down. You can put your head up, and it's not about pride. It's about recognizing who you are in Jesus. The devil will fight you tooth and nail to keep you groveling in the ground, your head bent over, when God has said, I'm the lifter of your head. I'm the lifter of your life. I've called you for a purpose and a plan. Do not be afraid. Don't keep looking back to the past. You know, the past can be a great trap for us. Imagine if this woman, after she was set free and God had straightened her up, that she kept looking back to the time when she was bent over. It wouldn't make sense. You need to be encouraging each other with the scriptures, with the word of God. I'm a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. You're not the same anymore. Don't keep looking back. He saw her. He called her. And I like to think he called it our name. God calls each one of us by name because he summoned us that way. He saw her, he called her, and now when she came forward, he touched her and conveyed an instantaneous cure. This woman was healed immediately. There was no prayer, fasting. It was like faith welled up in her heart. This is what Jesus can do. And if you let faith well up in your heart, he can do anything. whatever you bring to him. And the first thing is you've got to expose what's holding you. So many of us delay our deliverance by refusing to acknowledge what we're bound by. Woman, you are loosed. And when these words were uttered by Jesus, they actually uttered in a new beginning for this woman who had suffered so much. Verse 13 tells us that when Jesus put his hand upon her, immediately she straightened up and praised God. She straightened up. When God straightens you up, all you can do is praise him. Straighten you. He's the only one can straighten you. Don't allow yourself. I just feel that's for someone this morning. You're bound by your past hurts. You're bound by, you know, even unforgiveness. Don't cut it off this morning. You know, so many people spend years, wasted years. And this morning in the intercession, your name has gone in my head. Louise. Louise just brought that word about, listen, this is our time. You know, this is your moment. People 100 years ago were praising God. Guess what they all have in common? They're all dead. There's none of them around. This is your season. Grab it with everything. Fight the battle. I refuse. I want to die in the pulpit. Die in the church. Why would we not want the best for our lives? You can imagine the celebration that took place that day. It tells us that the people who knew her were delighted at the miracle and about all the things were taking place. Only the religious Pharisees found fault in the miracle. You're always going to find people who are going to rejoice with your miracle. There's always going to find people who are going to be happy with you. But let me tell you, you're going to find people who won't celebrate with you. Give them a wide berth. You've got to, and that might sound very, you've got to surround yourself with positive people. And I don't mean that in the positive thinking way. I mean people who are going for it, who are going on. Because guess what? It's easier to pull someone down than it is to pull someone up. And sometimes we have to say ta-ra to certain people. All through my Christian life, there were certain relationships I just had to cut off. And, you know, I pray for the people and I pray that they will become all God wants them to be. But I have got to run the race. You're running a race. You're fighting the good fight. You can never sit back on your laurels. This is a battle until the day we close our eyes. And if we know that, we won't be discouraged when the things happen. Religious people only see what is wrong and how the rules are being broken. Grace transcends rules and regulation and looks at the heart of the matter. That was mine. I made that up. You want to say that? Religious people only see what is wrong and how the rules are being broken. Grace transcends rules and regulations and looks at the heart of the matter. There are people, and they mightn't be where you'd like them to be, but guess what? They're on a journey. When I started the journey, I was obnoxious. You wouldn't believe that, would you? No. But God began to straighten me out. And we're always being straightened out. We never arrive where we say we have it all together. I'm always nervous putting the word together. I'm always having to depend on God, and that's a good thing. Because guess what? People who stop depending on God, it's a very dangerous place that you can put yourself into. So what are the things that we can learn from this miracle that we could take away with us today? Number one, she was in the right place for a miracle to happen. She was in the house of the Lord. Take that with you. Sickness didn't stop her from coming to worship God. You know, I know there's times when people are laid low, and I'm not trying to say that, you know, if you're really sick, you get out of your bed, but there's people for the least excuse will stay in bed. Decide, listen, I'm making a commitment to that. This church needs you. If you're around for any length of time, new people need to be looked after. You know, if you're only a year or two a Christian, you can disciple someone who's only a new Christian, because you know a good bit more than they do. We can learn that length of time doesn't count when you want a miracle to take place. Don't give up. No matter how long you've been waiting, maybe for your family to come true for the Lord, maybe for a sickness to be healed in your life or a family member. I remember when I became a Christian, it was 10 years before my husband started coming to church with me. And they were tough. It's actually tough being married to a non-Christian. And that was with God putting his hand on our lives. And that's why, listen, if you're here today and you're thinking about a serious relationship with a non-Christian, I'd beg you actually to think twice about it. Because I know what it's like to be with someone whom God had put together initially, just that I came to the Lord quicker. And there was a lot of stress and hassle. And I can understand how marriages could even break up. But I decided, listen, God says, stay in the place you were in when I called you. So I stuck in there with him. You know, I said, God, change Leo. He said, no, Anna, actually, you'd need more changing. And so he began to work on me. And I remember Leo saying, you'll never get me into that church. That's a few beers from the Windjammer. You'll never let me in there. And I just kept praying. I remember, I probably shared it with you before, I was about 6 months a Christian, on fire for the Lord. That's it, no more drinking, no more smoking, that's it, I'm not. I really was radical. And I remember him saying to me, he went around to the doctor one day and he came back, and it was all aggravation between us. And he said to me, I'm up being around the doctor, he's had to give me nerve tablets. And I said, for what? He said, you have my nerves gone, going to prayer meetings. But I said, when I was going to nightclubs, I said, your nerves wasn't gone. I burned the tablets, and I just knew then I was in a battle. And I just kept on praying. And you know what? I don't know what St. Mark's would do without Leo now. And I mean that he came to the Lord just by me sticking in there. And that's what I'd say to you. Stick in there. Have patience. Listen, it's very hard for them to deal with us and what we're... You know, we see God and it's fantastic and they're looking at us and they're blind to it. It's literally, what is... He said, you're not the woman I married. He said, I could actually get an annulment from you. You change your religion. But that was yeah. He didn't. But what I'm saying to you in all that is, persevere. Don't give up on people. No matter what your eyes are seeing now, with spiritual eyes. I used to stand of a Sunday, and I used to think to myself, I'm not single and I'm not married. You know, that kind of, I didn't fit into the single category. I was married, but Leo wasn't there. And in my mind, I began to get a picture of Leo standing beside me, and I began to say, that is it. You've called him with me. And I tell you, I wouldn't be able to do half the things I do without Leo. And I say, I honor him all the time, because you wouldn't get a better husband, you wouldn't get a better grandfather. He's not perfect, no more than I am, but he's God's man for me. Make sure whoever you're settling for is God's man or woman for you. The fourth thing, Jesus sees us and knows what we're going through. He sees us, remember that. And Jesus is the only one who can straighten us out. He's the only one who can straighten you out. Do you need Jesus to look your way this morning? He's already looking your way, but do you need him to call your name and minister to you? Do you need a touch from him this morning? Well, he's here, and he wants to do just that. And what a comfort we can take this morning from this miracle, that in all our troubles, Jesus is at hand. You know, there's a story in the Bible, and it says the disciples were on a boat and caught in a great storm. And Jesus walked on the water, and he got in the boat, and the storm stopped. Maybe you just need to know that Jesus is actually in the boat with you. That the storm around you might still be going on, but he wants to still your heart.